Thanks for joining us here on Service to School Stories. Your hosts for this season are Alec Emmert, Service to School CEO and Navy veteran.
And Sydney Mathis, Chief Program Officer and former College Admissions Officer. This season, we'll cover topics as it relates to higher education, military service transition, and career opportunities and outcomes for veterans. Join us as we share student stories, inside tips from the admissions office, and conversations with employers actively hiring student veterans. Here we go. All right, welcome to our podcast episode today, where we are chatting with Kelton Johnson. Kelton is a former Service to School applicant turned ambassador. So really excited for him to be on the podcast today, sharing a little bit about his journey from the military to higher education and the steps that he took to ultimately now attend the University of Chicago, which is one of our VetLink partners. So Kelton was in the Army. He got out in 2023 and is currently studying at UChicago as an economics major. So Kelton, thanks so much for being here. Let's go ahead. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. First, you know, thank you for having me. Very excited to share my story. You know, any way I can help veterans, I'm always happy to. My name's Kelton Johnson. I spent roughly 9 years in the military prior to getting out this past summer before starting school. Growing up, wasn't the best academically. I feel like I was kind of a product of my environment. Dropped out of high school at one point and, ended up graduating, being the first of my family to graduate high school or of my parents. And, it was with a 1.7 GPA. I think it took me about 5 years to graduate. Just really didn't have kind of direction or sense of purpose. This led to my decision in joining the military. I wanted to prove to myself that I could do something hard. I wanted to, turn my life around, get away from my hometown. And this was the greatest decision I think I ever made. I ended up joining with a Army Ranger contract, which, after all my initial training, I was stationed in Savannah, Georgia. I was in Savannah for roughly 8 years, where I met my wife, and we've got two dogs, and we're here in Chicago, adjusting to life here. And a little bit of my background. Now I'm here at the University of Chicago, currently planning on studying economics, but I feel like I'm in a very unique position where I can, make the statement, I don't know what I want to be when I'm an adult, and I'm in a perfect position to really learn what I want to do. So, happy to be here, happy to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm excited to dig into your story quite a bit. One of the most common streamlines that we hear from individuals that are working with Service to School is, hey, Sydney, I didn't do great in high school. Graduating senior year of high school, you decided to join the military. Kind of walk us through what that transition and that decision process was for you. Were you like, well, why not community college? Or did you go through the application process? What are your thoughts there?
I was someone who had self-selected myself out of college completely. It was not even on my radar. I didn't think I would be successful. Obviously, didn't have a track record of success in education, and really kind of pigeonholed myself into, needing to join the Army, in hopes for a better life. And I didn't consider college. I thought about trying to get a job and figure things out as I go on, but felt pretty inclined to serve our country, and ultimately, needed a way forward and a way through my terrible decisions in high school. And that's really the decision, this deciding factor of why I joined the military. And, like I said, I did 9 years. I wasn't quite sure. I think I was at that point where people are like, you need to make that decision of you're going to stay in or you're going to get out. Yeah. So, it meant a lot to me to give up the 9 years of service that I had. I Was an Army Ranger, like I said. I had gotten arguably the hard years out of the way of being the new private all the way to NCO. So making that next decision to transition from the military was that much harder, I believe. And my civilian life prior to joining was very rocky. So it was very worrisome kind of going back and thinking about the possibilities of reverting back to who I was prior to the military. And I'm very happy to say that my work ethic and my military experience has vastly changed who I am. And never in my life would I have thought that I'd be studying at the University of Chicago and even considering majoring in math. Like that's just something, if you told me when I was in high school, if I was at the University of Chicago thinking about math, like there's just no chance. There's no chance. Yeah. It's not who I was.
Right.
But I'm very, it's a very good feeling of, hey, I'm in, arguably one of the hardest colleges in the US, and I'm excelling here, academically, although it's hard. But it's just proof that veterans, can accomplish whatever they put their minds to.
Yeah. And what do you think it was about your time as an Army Ranger that kind of instilled that newfound confidence in you that I can do math at one of the most rigorous institutions in the country?
Yeah. So, I want to make this clear. There's 20 veterans in my class, and I am the only Ranger who, is in our class of 20 veterans. And it doesn't have to do with anything of me being a Ranger at all, because the 20 individuals in my cohort, the 20 veterans in my cohort, come from a vastly different backgrounds and a military service. And the common denominator in all of this is our military service, and we are all here excelling. So it doesn't have anything to do with me being a Ranger, although I am very proud of my service. I just want to make it clear for listeners, you don't have to deploy or you don't have to be an Army Ranger to excel in these schools. And I would love to share some examples later on of veterans just, academically outperforming, these students who are all valedictorians. Mm-hmm. They've all spent the last 12 years of their life preparing for college here. Mm-hmm. And yet the kids who, didn't do so well early on in life or were, maybe not outperforming them on every level, but it does make me feel good to know that I'm keeping up and, I have some other qualities that I can provide to them. Yeah, I hope that helps with the answer to that question. Maybe not, but let me circle back. Anyways, like I said, you don't need to be an Army Ranger. You don't need to be Special Operations. You just need to know that, you belong here at these schools as a veteran, and whatever veterans put their minds to, they will be able to accomplish. So as a Ranger, I got hurt on my first deployment. Being 19 and an Army Ranger, you think this is like the end all be all. You're going to end up, this is the coolest thing you've done in life, and this is what you want to do. And, getting hurt, having to kind of take a back seat of doing what I thought was, my purpose in life, was very frustrating. I ended up doing, logistics as a Ranger for most of my time, which, I was pretty jaded about at first, but it ultimately helped me more than, continuing on and, doing the job that people typically associate as, an Army Ranger would do. Mm-hmm. So having to take a back seat, I ended up really finding my niche, and that was doing logistics, austere logistics overseas, and I just loved it. I really enjoyed it. Ended up getting hurt again and having another knee surgery. And it was really up to me on whether I wanted to pursue a med board or stay in the military and kind of transition out of being an Army Ranger and find something that's a little bit more to speed of somebody who's had a couple knee surgeries. So I ended up really exploring options in higher education. I had been taking online courses in the military, which is a lot of work. It's, you know, on top of your full-time job, taking one class at a time, it ends up being a lot of work. You have to dedicate time, but it is more than doable. I, you know, looking back at those classes from what I'm doing now, you know, I wish I would have appreciated those classes a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyone who's listening, I urge you, if you're in the military and you haven't started taking classes, you know, to do so, because, you know, having that demonstrative history of academic success, you know, after high school for me was so important for me getting accepted in the University of Chicago. And like I said, it wasn't terribly hard to do well in these courses. I took classes with the University of Charleston. That was really good. I did some classes with AMU. That was really good. But at the end of the day, those colleges are great, but they just aren't quite the quality of education that I knew schools like, you know, University of Chicago, mm-hmm. Yale, all these great schools, you know, they have. So when I was kind of considering my options, I heard of the Warrior Scholar Project, and I was like, okay, you know, maybe I could see myself doing, you know, 4 years in school. So I signed up for one of their boot camps. It was a great experience. I went to Yale for 2 weeks. I learned about, you know, economics from somebody who's dedicated their life to learning about developmental economics in countries in Africa. And it really resonated with me from what I saw in Afghanistan and Iraq and the developmental economics. And it was just so interesting. And, you know, hearing firsthand from somebody who's dedicated their life to something, it's just, you know, something I don't think I could have appreciated until later on in life. And but when I say every single one of my courses here at UChicago is like that, I'm learning from people who are renowned in their fields of work, and it's just such an amazing experience. But also, if you haven't noticed, I monologue, so please interrupt me at any time if I need to, you know, add clarification. So during my time in the military, I, through using my joint transcript and, the classes I took at AMU, University of Charleston, I was able to get 108 credits. Wow. So I was only four classes away from, you know, having a bachelor's degree at the University of Charleston. Mm-hmm. So my initial thoughts were, I don't want to go back to undergrad. I didn't really see the value in attending undergrad until I went to Warrior Scholar Project. And I thought I was just going to do the classic, get out of the military with a degree, go right into an MBA, and, you know, hopefully get some great high-paying job doing consulting, investment bank, or whatever it is. It seems to be a very popular route for officers. And, you know, exactly. So, you know, it's been a path that works for people leaving the military. And it's unfortunate that it's not available more to enlisted because, you know, and I, again, you know, most of us don't go to college prior to the military. And, you know, it's like I said, it's very hard to get a degree while in the military. So those pathways really aren't for enlisted. And, you know, through Warrior Scholar Project, I realized there's a lot missing in my education that I really believe would benefit me in every aspect of my life, whether it's professionally, personally. I started weighing the options, and I started talking with my wife that I failed to mention that, you know, I did say I was married, thank goodness, because mm-hmm. I always seem to leave that one out. But anyways, so my wife and I, we really talked at length about, you know, dedicating 4+ years to, you know, going to school again. And, you know, it's a big decision. It's, you know, to me, being in the military was almost a selfish decision because she was the one supporting me through all of that. And, you know, it was very important that she was in the process of deciding what school we were going to be at for the next, you know, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty set on Yale just because, you know, I had such a great experience there. And that's when I kind of learned about service to school. So I signed up for service to school originally for the MBA program to kind of, you know, do the GMAT course to prep for that. And as my, I guess, views shifted, I then signed up for the services school support for undergrads. And this was a great decision. I ended up getting plugged into, I had some great conversations with, you know, different schools and the incentives they offer and programs they offer for veterans. And I ended up really settling on a few schools. One, University of Chicago. I was looking at Princeton. Amherst has a great program. And these are all, you know, pretty different schools that all had something that really appealed to me. And it was just very important that I knew the most I could about each of these schools to come up with the most calculated and beneficial decision for my wife and I. Mm-hmm. And through those conversations and that at the same time, you know, it's very important to have these conversations with the people who represent the school, but you also, as a veteran, you need to be reaching out to veterans at the school themselves, because they're going to be able to provide you with insight that, you know, these people who represent the school just, you know, aren't aware of, or, you know, they aren't the ones sitting in class or, mm-hmm. you know, walking to school in you know, a foot of snow like I was this morning. But so it's very important to talk to, and that's really what made me decide that I don't want to do an MBA. And I'm looking back, I'm very happy I didn't make that decision based on a couple things. Mm-hmm. One, 2 years is just not enough to figure out what you want to do. When you hit the ground as an MBA student, you are immediately recruiting for whatever job you want to do. And for me, I have no idea what I want to do still. And I, you know, like I said, it's only been one quarter, so I've got time. But you know, it's just not a position I think I would have done well in. I really enjoy taking classes where I'm going to learn more about a specific subject that is, you know, maybe something I'm interested in. Like, you know, for instance, computer science. I think that's a very fun kind of skill to know and very important. And that's just not really available to business students. So, and I preface this all with my plan is here at the University of Chicago, there's a 4+1 accelerated MBA program that has been made available through a pretty generous donation. So my plan is I will do 4 years undergrad where my fourth year as a senior, I will do my first year as an MBA student. Okay. So I will then leave the University of Chicago with both an undergrad and business degree, which to me is very important. It highlighted the best of both worlds in what worked for me and my wife. Mm-hmm. So it was like the stars aligned, things worked out, and you know, I'm, you know, having a great time at the University of Chicago for the most part.
For the most part, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about that conversation of going back to school for 4 years and like paying for an education. We get questions from students all the time of how do I use my benefits if they're doing with the GI Bill or VR&E or they're using TA while they're in service, right? I encourage everyone to submit the FAFSA and fill out, you know, any financial information that will unlock resources from an institution. Was that a conversation that you had with each school as you were kind of weighing your options? Or looking back, is that a conversation, you know, that you would encourage others to have?
Yeah, great question. Looking back, I wish I would have known more. You know, I tell myself all the time here at the University of Chicago, I don't know what I don't know. And, you know, to approach things that way and having the most information, you will be able to then make the best decisions. And I didn't know how financial aid works prior to the admission process. I was just assuming I'd use my GI Bill. University of Chicago told me there was, monetary value in incentives and stipends to attending the school. And don't get me wrong, there are monetary, a specific way the university does their stipends here at UChicago to, help us with housing costs. Mm-hmm. But not knowing how financial aid work really put me in a position now that I think I could have avoided if I would have known more. For instance, how does financial aid work on top of the GI Bill, or how does a grant versus a scholarship versus a stipend work on top of the GI Bill? And is that money going to come back to you? Or, for instance, there's a stipend here at UChicago. If you're a first generation student, you get $5,000 each year. And, me going through the admissions process is like, oh, great. I'm going to get that because I'm a first generation student. And, coming back now, they would give me this stipend or scholarship, but they would deduct it from my veteran scholarship. And it's just those types of things that have been very frustrating through the process, especially because we're not the average 18-year-old student who has lifelines to other,
financial resources.
Maybe not guardrails. Yeah, it's, they have their parents that they could reach out to and be like, hey, this is how this is going. What is your advice? And like I said, neither one of my parents would have any idea what's going on or how to approach the situation. So it's very important to me to know how to be able to afford college. And now I am fortunate enough to have gotten approved for VRNE. I was originally denied VRNE because of the cost of the University of Chicago's, it was too high. I then reapplied and have recently been accepted. So pretty excited about that. I'm going to be able to save my GI Bill. This raises another issue that I think is kind of coming to light as veterans are flocking to these top universities. It seems as if organizations like Service to School is just a force multiplier in getting veterans to these schools. And it's such a great program. And I think as more veterans end up in these types of schools, we're going to realize, hey, veterans fall into these brackets at, for instance, Princeton recently announced they don't require students to use their GI Bill because they have a program for their low-income students. If they make under X amount of money, they are granted, tuition, scholarships, housing, whatever it is, all paid for by the university. So I think, as an E4, E5 in the military, when they get out, everybody kind of falls under this program. And, to me, it's you can't really, in good conscience, as a school, require veterans to use their hard-earned, GI Bill and, VA benefits when there's these other options that are available to them. And I think that should be a decision for each veteran to make on, at their own accord, I guess. And, for me, maybe I want to go to law school later on in life. Saving my GI Bill would allow me to do that, just further showing how important these VA benefits are and how important they can be in assisting you in changing your trajectory in life. Yeah. And that's what I wish I would have known kind of going through the financial aid process.
Absolutely. Yeah, I always encourage students, there's a quick Google search will pull up a list of schools that meet 100% full demonstrated financial need. And that's based on income. And to your initial point, most, E4, E5 veterans are going to fall under that income threshold. So I always tell students, it's up to you how you decide to utilize your benefits. If the school is saying they are willing to pony up and cover that cost, if you meet under a certain threshold, then, maybe you don't use your benefits there.
But that is definitely something that I've shared with students is like, build your list off of this 100% full demonstrated need list. Another thing that we're seeing in terms of, you know, scholarship and financial aid is a practice that some schools participate in called scholarship displacement, which to your point is essentially if you get an outside scholarship, an institution can and sometimes does reduce the amount of institutional scholarship that they are now going to pony up, right? That happens to students across the board, not just our student veterans. So there's several organizations that are working very hard. And I think the state of California actually now has passed legislation where it's, you know, there's policies that bar schools from participating in scholarship displacement, because to your point, it's just, it's not right at the end of the day. But I do think, you know, you all have such an incredible benefit in the GI Bill or through VRNE. That's an amazing opportunity to truly like change the trajectory of your life. So financing education, yeah. I mean, we host a webinar every year about how to maximize the GI Bill. And we go into a lot of that as things that you should be thinking about or costs that you might not have considered otherwise. Childcare, cost of transportation, cost of, you know, having a car in that certain area, right? Like insurance, all things that are going to come into play when students are thinking about pursuing higher education after their time in service. But there's still no denying that a bachelor's degree is going to change your socioeconomic mobility. That there's just data that continues to support that. So it is very important to have that kind of driving, if you will, a conversation in terms of where student veterans apply.
Prior to me leaving the military, I did kind of a cost-benefit analysis of how far and how, what would the monetary value of my GI Bill at Georgia Southern University, which was pretty close to my house in Georgia, and then versus the University of Chicago. And these are just kind of what I remember figures. They're not going to be exact, but the total monetary value of my GI Bill attending Georgia Southern would have been roughly, you know, $80,000 across 4 years, including housing allowance. And the monetary value of attending the University of Chicago would have been roughly $400,000. And, you know, that's, so it's very important to understand that, you know, how important the benefit is. And, you know, if that school is going to be supportive of, I guess, or I guess they need to, veterans need to look at it as something that they should not waste on something. You know, and again, I say Georgia Southern, I'm using them as a reference. Georgia Southern would not be wasting a GI Bill. That is a great college. But there are institutions that are actively trying to gain money from VA benefits. So I think it's very important for veterans to understand that and really to know how far their GI Bill goes. So I think that's, you know, just being plugged into service to school is so important. I wish I would have attended one of those. You know, how much does attending college cost? Yeah. You know, for instance, parking in Chicago each month is $200 a month. That's crazy. So, you know, my wife and I, we've sold one car. We're down to one vehicle, and we walk and we use public transportation, and neither of us have ever lived in a city, really, and it's just been a really fun experience. It's been fun. You know, I urge every veteran to have as many conversations with as many people that they can to really get the best understanding of what they're getting into.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a takeaway from that is that, like, going to a school that you are going to find your people, that you're going to enjoy being in the classroom, that you're going to be valued and supported on campus, that you're going to genuinely just be able to like be a sponge on campus and absorb as much of that experience as you can, is a value to, you know, this benefit that you have. It's an investment in yourself. And, you know, I think keeping that also as a part of the conversation when, you know, it's like, okay, well, why do you want to go to insert name of school here? And it's like, oh, well, it's a beautiful campus. And it's like, yes, there are a lot of beautiful campuses across the country. But let's talk about why that school is, you know, all of those things that I mentioned before for you. And that's another, you know, cost benefit analysis is, does it make sense? Is that, you know, where you want to move your family, where you want to move your kids, where you want to have those lived experiences? And it's just, I mean, to have access to some of these institutions through the VetLink program, I mean, is just amazing for veterans to know that those opportunities are available to them, as you mentioned. I want to pivot a little bit and talk about, so you are now a service to school ambassador. You completed as an applicant, spent some time on UChicago's campus, and now you are ready to pay it forward. As service to school continues to grow our applicants, we also got to grow our ambassador population. So talk to our listeners a little bit about why you decided to become a service to school ambassador and what you think that means for the future of veterans at institutions like UChicago.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I will go back to the, I think it's a service to school is just a force multiplier of getting veterans here and adding value to these schools. For me, I was worried that, you know, I was here at this university because of, you know, the monetary value that institutions sometimes look at the GI Bill. And, you know, I kind of struggled for a little bit of like, do I belong here? Is this something that I can do? And, you know, you walk into math class thinking, holy cow, this is going to be a hard test. You know, it's a hard feeling. But then when I'm doing really well in these classes, it just makes me feel so good. And I just want veterans to know that they can be here doing the exact same thing that I am doing. And like I said, if I can be that person that somebody has a conversation with that encourages them to apply to their dream school or do something that they've always wanted to do, you know, I would love to, you know, have that conversation or help in any way. And that's really, you know, what led me to signing up to be an ambassador is I've seen what veterans provide here at the University of Chicago, and I'd love to give some examples. But, mm-hmm. you know, the more veterans here, the more, you know, the more institutions will realize the value that we add. UChicago is a pretty hard school. One of my veteran friend's professors said, hey, I am only going to give out one A for this class. And, you know, this class was geared for third and second years. My veteran friend, who's a first year, you know, it's pretty intimidating to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, he was the one who earned that A in that class. And that's just one instance. Someone in my math class, you know, just an absolute rock star. He had the highest score on his biology test of like a class. I think it was 120 students, and he scored the highest on his midterm. And it's just those small things of mm-hmm. I didn't realize that we would be doing that here, especially with the kind of students that UChicago attracts. Yeah. So it's just, it makes me very proud knowing that we are keeping up with students and we do provide value other than just being veterans. For me, I think I know that, like, I kind of wanted to take this time as I was transitioning to separate myself from being a veteran, kind of learn who I am outside of the military. So I didn't really want to get too involved with veteran programming or veteran activities. I have my friends who are veterans that we have a great community of, you know, great veterans. And, you know, I love hanging out with them. But, you know, I really wanted to, you know, experience, you know, time with my classmates. For mm-hmm. instance, walking home from my humanities class last night, I was talking to this girl, and she was telling me how she had stage 3 cancer at the age of 4, and now she's a neuroscience major and a bio major, so she's double majoring in this, and she wants to be a doctor. And it's just, you know, it's conversations like this that are just so amazing that, you know, it's almost standard here and I'm sure at any of these great schools. And I just love it. I love being a part of it. I love hearing these stories. And it just makes me feel like, oh, wow, I'm probably going to work for one of these kids one day. So I'm gonna start. And it's just been a lot of fun. I come home and tell my wife all these stories, like these funny things these kids do in class, because you know, I'm a decade older than them. I'm a decade older, and it's fun to be like the perpetual older brother in class, and maybe hear about some of their issues and just kind of like, you know, laugh and be like, hey, maybe if you did this, like, you know, this. So yeah. It's just like being able to add life skills.
Right.
For instance, I had a great conversation with someone about antitrust law. This girl, she's 18 and she knows so much about antitrust law. If you would have asked me what that was at 18, I just would have stared at you. I would have had no idea. And she's actually helped me with some of my papers in my Hume class, kind of like, you know, for instance, like a couple edits here and there and, you know, sentence structure. So it's just been such a fun experience kind of building a community that maybe doesn't necessarily revolve around veterans. Is you don't need to, that doesn't need to be your entire identity at these schools, which is something I really appreciate, because, you know, although I'm very proud of my service, I just, you know, it's nice being able to take a step back and kind of be yourself and not worry about, hey, you know, maybe if I do this, like I would come off this way and I'd worry about opinions. Like, no, I just represent myself here at this school. I don't represent the military really anymore. And it's just an awesome position to be in. And I can't, you know, recommend it more highly. And, you know, it's really hard to explain unless you're kind of in my position. I would love to, again, offer any help to anyone who would love to attend the University of Chicago. I'm always happy to have any conversations. You know, if the email reaches my inbox, I will get to it. I promise. It just might be a few days. Calculus is, it's pretty hard.
I'm still trying to dig out of my inbox from the holidays, but I know we'll have several students that there's a lot of the, am I going to fit in with the younger students, or I have a family, or I'm married, right? And like, I don't want to do the traditional like college stuff. So I know that once people start hearing that you kind of shared that similar thought initially and have kind of sought out ways to see that as a benefit and an enjoyment part of your experience, I'm sure people will reach out. But as we wrap up the conversation, Kelton, I want to give you the chance to share with our listeners one last piece of advice for anyone who is getting ready to get out of the military and is considering college as their next step.
This is a hard one. I would say shoot for the stars and do not ever let anyone be a gatekeeper to their institution. You know, if you have a conversation with someone in an administrative role at a school and, you know, they tell you, hey, I'm sorry, you don't have enough calculus or math in your academic history. You know, who cares? Who cares? Apply, you know, take a couple Khan Academy courses or take a couple college algebra courses at, you know, using TA while you're in, or in community college, you know. But again, shoot for the stars. Don't let anyone tell you what you can't do. And the more veterans in these institutions, the better place they will be. And I firmly believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was on my soapbox about that last night. I was like, more veterans just need to know that they can apply to some really great academic institutions across the country. It's not that you can't or you shouldn't. It's that they just don't know that those options are out there for them. I mean, to your point earlier, you don't know what you don't know. So if more people can hear stories like yours, Kelton, we're just going to continue to knock down those barriers and get more veterans in those spaces where, you know, that perspective and your lived experiences belong. So thank you so much for being on the podcast with us this season. I know you are going to do incredible things.
Yeah, of course.
But also here at Service to School, your next few applicants that we send your way are incredibly lucky to have you kind of on their team and helping them steer that boat. So.
I'm so excited. Real quick, I thought of one last thing I want to share. I'm sorry. One last thing is, I was that 1.7 something GPA in high school. The highest math grade letter I'd ever gotten in high school in any math class was a C. And after my first quarter of, you know, like I said, if you just Google hard colleges, I think UChicago's number two behind MIT. And in one of the hardest math departments in the United States, I got a B plus in math. And if that doesn't, you know, like I'm not special or anything. I just, you know, I just did the work and it worked out. So again, don't let people tell you can't do something, and don't let yourself tell you that you can't do something. And yeah, so sorry to interrupt. I had to get that one off my chest because I wanted to say it before we.
That's important too, because sometimes we are our biggest critics and our biggest barrier to, you know, unlocking opportunities. So if we can get out of our own way, sometimes that's all it takes. But well, we are excited to have you on the team, continue to support veterans pursuing higher education, and can't wait to continue to see the stuff and the success that you have at UChicago. So thanks again, Kelton.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all we have for this episode. Join us next week, same time, same place, where we share more Service to School stories. Service to School Stories is hosted by Sydney Mathis, Chief Program Officer, and Alec Emmert, Service to School CEO. Our podcast is produced and edited by our Director of Communication, Amanda Tobias. Service to School is a 501c3 nonprofit providing free college admission support to transitioning service members and veterans. Join us next week and follow us for more on your favorite social media platforms.